Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center Presents Other Center podcast. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Knapsack.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And this is our episode, Cues of the Other. We have had so much fun in this Other Center era, taking all sorts of different questions. We thought we got a wide variety of questions about that other galaxy. This galaxy is quite expansive. Any kinds of questions that we could get. Before we get into it, we want to let you know, as always, that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Can you have a recommendation this week?
I do. I think you should check out the book, The Comedians, Drunks, Thieves, Scoundrels, and the History of American Comedy by Cliff Nesterhoff. A fascinating look at comedy and a fascinating look at how, well, the social wars, the culture wars around comedy have always been present and held on to by those refusing to change. Check it out, The Comedians.
Yeah, you can download that free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. Some listeners have been downloading some audiobooks, and hey, we see that. It helps us financially. I have never got a chance to read this book, Ken, but I love the author's social media feeds where he just kind of almost without too much comment will just post, you know, the news articles from across the span of comedy about who's getting too blue now. You know, you know, Jack Benny is an insult to society. And
it's fascinating. It and he's got a book in November that's coming out that's directly all about that. That this book, a little bit more of just the overall history of comedy, but he's got one that's like, you think comedy's being canceled now? Here's the comics who were upset they couldn't do blackface before in the 20s. Yeah, it's happening. Yeah,
we can't do anything now. You're in vaudeville and you can't put your three-year-old in a trunk and throw it around on stage anymore? We can't do anything anymore.
Yep.
excellent. We are also doing our ask right now. We are asking for people to perhaps visit Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever it's called, where you can leave reviews. We have over the years have gotten a lot of really wonderful reviews about Four Center. We're in this Other Center era right now. We're going to continue to do some kind of Other Center stuff in the future. So it'd be really great to get some reviews sharing why you enjoy this particular era, this style of the podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. So if you have a few moments and want to leave a review, that would be great.
Wonderful. Also coming up October 27th is our next live show, our Questions of the Other Variety. It is on October 27th, 2 p.m. Pacific time. What time zone that is that for you in your life? You're going to have to check it yourself. I can't count that high. I think I'm still confused. But 27th on our YouTube channel, 2 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you have time zones memorized?
Oh my gosh, I'm the worst with time zones. The worst. I'm actually putting it in my calendar right now. Four Center Live.
Yeah. It's usually for me, it's just mostly just calling my dad of he does not do the translation. So I always I confuse him real bad. One time he's like, "Do you want to talk at 2 your time, noon my time?" And he's like, "What time?" I'm like, "Okay. We'll keep it to your time, Dad."
Yeah, right.
All right. We are going to get into these questions. Been mostly pulling questions from Patreon. I got a post up there. It's buried down now a little ways in our Patreon feed of posts. So I will post a new request for questions soon to get us all freshened up. Or if you want to reach out on social media, just be sure to tag me because I generally collect the questions, but you're welcome to send them to all of us. Here we go. We got two questions this week. This first one comes to us from Ken Plume, who is a pal of both myself and Ken Napsok. You hear us chat about him. Ken used to bring me to Dragon Con, and we're toy buddies. We talk about he sent me some toys. And Ken, you play Fortnite with Ken Plume like 17 hours a day, right?
Roughly. Ken's a little disappointed because I think I just downloaded Madden 2024 because I got the hankering for some football. But don't worry, Ken. We're still going to be down to crown, as they say on Fortnite.
And Jennifer, I'm trying to remember, have you ever done any sort of podcast or event or anything with Ken?
No, I have not.
He has often said, like, "Hey, and invite Jennifer too." So it's only a matter of time if you are interested.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, but he thinks the world of you. I know.
That's nice. Thank you.
So here is Ken Plume's question. He says, "Ahoy, hoy, long time fan. I've got an Other Center question. If the size of your homes were not a consideration, what is your ideal version of having friends over for an evening? Dinner, conversation, movie, games, snacks? Lay it all out." Jennifer, do you want to get us started with your ideal home socializing event?
I got stuck on if the size of your homes were not a consideration and designing my home that I would have. Yeah. Because there is something, right? Like, I feel like my husband's always like, "Oh, we should have people over." And I'm like, "Oh gosh," because there's a certain style of house that does well for entertaining. In my experience, when I've gone to other people's houses, a nice big kitchen, maybe an island right in the kitchen where you have some stuff laid out that people can go. And then you have your main area where you have a nice spread of charcuterie and some wine. And then it like maybe might even flow to like some French doors to like an outdoor space right? And there you have a beautiful trellis, a nice big wooden table, candles. Maybe there's even a pool off to the side or barbecue. I don't know. Just all sounds so nice. I want to go there. That's where I want my party to be.
Jennifer, not only do I like the idea, I like the way you're saying it. I want to put music behind it and make it like a meditation video of like, yes, take me there. Take me to that home.
Picture yourself walking through the marble kitchen with a giant refrigerator and giant cupboards that I see all these influencers that they have.
The island. It's all about the island with some bar stools. Yeah, Ken, I'll talk about this. We'll get into what the actual event is. But I'm curious for you, like, you are able to do a little bit of entertaining, and I think you got a great space for it. Are you currently living in your ideal home entertaining space, or is there a different vision you have?
No. Be able to rent and live in Burbank, and knocking on wood that our landlord continues to be as generous as she has. I don't want capitalism to hit her quite yet, but a bigger version of it. It's a great question in terms of dreaming, right? About what do you want? And you know, do you want the 42 rooms and all that stuff? I don't know if I want kind of what I have. And I have a courtyard in the backyard where a fire pit, and I have a bigger backyard. It's not super functional because we don't really have anything we can do there. And it's not ours to kind of dig up and build stuff on, you know, we rent, but people can go there. And so, yeah. And then I have an indoor, and I don't have a giant kitchen, but you're right, Jen. Everyone ends up in the kitchen at some point.
Always.
And we don't have, I'll take the blame. We don't have a dining room table. I don't believe in that construct. I believe, let's just be honest, meals are at your desk playing video games or watching TV on the couch or in your car. So I don't like, but under the perfect circumstance, we would have a dining room table. So all that to say, I'll pitch back to you, Joseph. I'm right where I want to be.
Yeah, no, you guys do have a good setup, not only with the courtyard, but, you know, Sarah and I have watched the like build your dream home shows and that. So we've fantasized about like, well, if we got to just build something someday. And it's a little bit like what you have, where there is these a good spacious like living room and kitchen, public space, and then tucked away in the back, the private rooms, which makes it sound like something weird's going on. But, you know, my fantasy is to have the home that Jennifer is describing with it's, you know, open. It's got a kitchen island. It leads off to a deck. Ideally, a conversation pit and like a bookcase that I spin around and turns into a bar. But like this very open, people can come into this space and flow. There's a bathroom accessible there. And then like downstairs, hidden away, like, my dark little office, my dark little toy museum. But that big open space to that that doesn't get cluttered and you can entertain.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. The big thing I'm missing now is the bar. My old apartment had that custom made bar, but that was my roommate's. And it was great and it was on wheels. So that's a big thing I'm missing now.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
That was really cool. Yeah.
That was cool.
Early Four Center episodes recorded at the bar, which was just great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you on the dining room table thing because, yes, I eat in front of the television. It is one of my happy places. Mm-hmm. But Sarah really wants us to have a dining room table. We have a goal to be able to invite people over. Mm-hmm. The dining room table we originally called the lava table because we weren't supposed to put anything on it. Like, you know, kids playing lava, like don't touch it. So we agreed this is the lava table. And then Force Awakens and Rogue One came out and I got just a few action figures. Mm-hmm. And as you both saw, the lava table became the giant pyramid of action figures, which is now so tall, you can't actually see some parts of the house over the over the action figure pyramids. So we've agreed that and Sarah's super, super supportive. I don't want to lean into any sort of stereotypes of the nagging spouse. Is that like, she's like, find a different place to store them, organize them, rotate them. She's super supportive and there are action figures everywhere.
Right.
But we've both been like, yeah, we need that dining room table back so we can even attempt to have, you know, friends over for dinner.
Yeah.
Jennifer, do you have a dining room table?
We do. We do. But I have my laptop. That's like where I work. Mm-hmm. So, and then we have like a bunch of kids. I'm like staring at it right now. I have a bunch of kids' supplies, art stuff. Mm. So it just doesn't feel like a proper dining room. We have a piano in it. That's fine. But like, yeah. I think as they get older, we'll be able to get rid of some of that stuff. And then hopefully if I can get my garage going, I can have my office in the garage. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's heaven too. Amazing.
Yeah, right? Oh, dream.
So let's cycle back, Jennifer, either in, well, I guess this whole question from Ken is if you had the ideal version of your home. So in your beautiful Mind Palace living room with the kitchen island, what kind of events do you host?
I think definitely a dinner party would be nice. And I mean, maybe it could be fun if there's a movie playing. I don't know. I feel like then that makes it hard because then you're not interacting with your guests as much if it's a movie. Mm. Although an outdoor movie can be fun, especially for the kids. Games, I hesitate. Like I've mentioned this before, I'm a very poor sport. So I get very competitive. So I don't want to cause some drama. But like charades is a really fun game. Mm. I actually went this was years ago. This was right when YouTube first kind of came about and was popular. We would like share funny videos that we had seen on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so it was a party where we were, oh, you got to see this video I found of this, you know, this reporter lady falling in the wine or whatever. And the grapes, I think it was the grapes. Yeah. So that was fun, but now we would never do that.
Yeah. That my favorite happen. in those kind of scenarios is the Count Censored. Do you guys know the Count Censored?
Mm-mm. The Count Censored? Oh, like the Count, like from Sesame Street?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
They've taken his, I think it was like his, maybe one of his first appearances, if not his first appearance, where he sings the song of, I am the count and I really like to count, but they just bleep all the verbs. So it sounds like he's singing something else.
Oh my gosh.
It's a beautiful treat for adults. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Ken, how about for you? I mean, you do host social events, so I assume those are ideal, but is there a different, is that the ideal or is there something else?
No, it's the ideal outside of maybe games, but not, I'll explain it. Like I'm very much against movie nights. I used to, tried for a little while to host like Game of Thrones nights. And nope, I need to be alone. This isn't, this isn't Riff Tracks. That's something Joseph works on. This is not, and that's kind of that. And sports, even like as big of a sports fan, Super Bowl party can be fun. But if I'm really interested in it, with my team hasn't been in it since '84, so I haven't experienced that. But I don't want you around either. Like I just have, I don't want those things going on. But yeah, the games, the pockets to be able to move around. When I mean games, I'm not talking about. I've had fun as a kid. I used to play charades at a family party. I used to, a lot of memories of that. But I have like a lot of outdoor games. My old house in Northridge, you both didn't get to go to, had a big enough yard where we'd have croquet. We created called Ruckus. So we'd hold Ruckus parties. I had a barbecue grill out there. So there were people in the kitchen, people in the living room, people in the backyard, and then me floating around all of it. That I enjoyed. Had a dartboard up as well. I like that. A little bit of the options. I like options, including food, snacks. I'll go all out. I think it's important to invite a scrimshaw. Sarah or Joseph are great at parties. And Jen, I'll tell you something right now. You got away with it over the last couple of years because I knew you had some young kids and that how, I didn't even, I'm going to confess to you publicly. I didn't worry about inviting you for some of the bigger things I've had because it was like, poor Jen, she's got another life going on. But now, Jen, your kids are old enough to just give them $10 and drop them off at the mall. All right.
Go to Hot Dog on a Stick.
Come, call me at the end of the night.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah, that'd be so fun. Have my mom come up, or you know what? My husband can watch them and I can go by myself.
There you go.
Yeah. I'd be down for a Furby party. I'll just make weird Furbies together. Jennifer's instructions.
Oh my gosh.
I'm loving this in hearing about these different parties and yeah, Ken, that makes a lot of sense of like you like to be able to surround yourself with what, like maybe like 20, 25 people. And then sometimes they're kind of big group conversations, but then it breaks mm-hmm. into pockets and it's like watching like, you know, some sort of like amoeba under a microscope, but they kind of blend together and pull apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I love the fire. I love fire. I love fire pits. Just mm-hmm. built a new one yesterday. It had to replace one. The basin burnt out my old one. So I got a new one up and ready and we'll do it again soon. It takes a lot. And you know, you know, Grace does an amazing job in making our house spectacular. And I try to help with that, but I often get in the way. You know, it's not easy to always do, as I think we all can admit.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. it is challenging. I think a couple things for me. I do like having game nights of like board games for people who are into it and want to mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. I would never just go to a random friends and go, do you want to play board games? Because some of them will try. And there's like, hey, it's not for me. But I've had great game nights where that is the thing of mm-hmm. people. And also when people are like really aware of like, we would like to play some easy, loose, you're not going to get competitive 15-minute party games for mm-hmm. fun that are totally just really a structure to generate conversation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I have the friends who are like, we would like to play out the entire historical conflict of the British Isles for 15 hours together. And that's fun too. I also like doing that, but I can only really have fun if I feel like everybody else is having fun. Otherwise I get anxious and worry about the one person I'm concerned is not having fun. So I really like everybody to be having an event that they want to have. I don't like trying to convince people that they should do a thing that I like to do. Unless it's somebody who's really like, I want to try this thing, then great.
Yeah.
But I never like having the parties of like, I like doing this, so I'm going to make my friends do it. It's deeply not for me. So for me, I think ideal would be a little bit smaller. I've had some really fun parties that are like 30, 40 people, you know, and it that's really great. That's really fun. But at this point, I think I'd really like maybe 6 to 7 people. So you're mm-hmm. all pretty much in the same conversation. Maybe you peel off a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. Pre-dinner cocktails can be alcoholic or zero proof, whatever. But the spirit of pre-dinner cocktails. Mm-hmm. My wife is a wonderful cook. So if she is willing, she could make some wonderful pasta. With the strange sauces that she makes. It's very good. I definitely have the conversation pit where the television and the snacks are. And then I've had some really great movie nights. And Ken, I know the concern you have with the everyone thinks they're riff tracks.
Yes.
And
yes.
everybody thinks they've got a really clever thing to shout back at the screen is a deep danger, or even the one guy thinks he does.
Yeah, I had that.
I think we've all been through that, right? But some parties that I used to have with friends back in Minneapolis, everybody was really reserved with, if you got a joke every once in a while, great. But that's not what we're doing. We're watching the film. So if something honest comes out, great. But that there's a real emphasis to, we're watching something that we want to experience together. So especially if it's like two movies of, this is a weird pairing, or this is a famous movie that half the people know by heart and half the people have never seen. So there's some element to the movie watching that has a built-in social dynamic that is what people are responding to. And then I love watching things with people when we all have kind of like a reason to be engaged in it. And I have no interest in watching like somebody who's like, I can take or leave Star Wars. But I'm going to watch a random episode of the third season of Mandalorian with you. Like, no, please.
Yeah.
Lord, no.
No.
But like, you know, having like, I think I've seen the original Young Guns like years ago. I maybe saw the sequel. But I'd love to be the one person at a Young Guns party that you have, Ken, when like five other people know it by heart. And I haven't seen it in years. Like, because and there's a social aspect to it that's built in. It's not just like, let's randomly watch the newest movie.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I can make that happen. We'll make that happen.
Yeah. movie parties that I used to go to, my friends in particular, they would have these overnight movie parties that were themed in like five movies and a dinner break as a whole thing. Yeah. And they had like a constitution that they wrote up. And I'm curious, I want to ask you both about this. They had for the movie party, the peepaws clause that at any time anyone can request a peepaws clause and no one is going to give them grief about it. Would that be a good thing for you, or would you be extremely upset?
No. We have the peepaws clause. I like that.
Nice. Jennifer?
It works.
Yeah, I think that actually would be good. But I think you're making a good point about it having to be like a shared experience. Maybe we're talking back at the screen. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite parties with my friends was when we used to watch the VMAs together, or the BET Awards. We loved it. It was such a moment. We'd have our snacks. When we all lived really close to each other, everyone would come over to our place. And it was like as much about the commentary, our commentary, as it was about what was happening on screen. Mm-hmm. But I'm like you, Ken. I want to be able to, like, if it's The Mandalorian, I forget what I saw where I was with a bunch of people. I'm like, I can't watch this. I need to go home and do this on my own. Might have been a Game of Thrones episode. I can't remember now.
If it's just something you love, even if they enjoy it, like my friend every week back in the day would host a Game of Thrones party and had archery and food. Sounded great. But I always told her, I'll show up, but I'm leaving before the show. And then I'm late getting home and watch it. I have all my grumpiness. I don't want to take away from you. You all have fun, but I'm going to go.
Yeah. A themed party for Game of Thrones gets scary fast.
Yeah.
Those are not activities I want to partake in. Any final thoughts on Ken Plume's question about our ideal socializing evening?
Yeah, I'll say this. It's one of those questions that has, made me realize what I have is what I wanted or needed. And that's a good feeling experience.
That's great. I have further motivation to clean off the lava table. Any final thoughts from you, Jen?
You know, I've learned, and this is something I've been working through, is that it's okay if you don't have the ideal house that you envisioned that would be for entertaining. Mm-hmm. It really is, or even like the perfect dishes where everything looks perfectly curated. Yeah. It's about making people feel comfortable, having a good time with your friends. They don't care. They don't care what tablecloth you use or whatever, right? Because I get caught up in that minutia. At the end of the day, it's about just being in each other's company and laughing and having a good time.
Indeed.
Yeah. Perfect. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment with another very different question.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We are back on Cues of the Other with another cue. It all makes sense. This one comes to us from Justin Jacobson. Justin says, "Hello there, Ken and Joseph and Jennifer. I have a question about aliens from not so long ago in the galaxy. Many cultures have tales of being visited by people from the sky who taught them useful things, and it was a big deal, so they commemorated it with big stone structures and petroglyphs and other labor-intensive monuments. For the past few decades, if not longer, though, the visitors from the sky seem more interested in playing ding-dong ditch with pilots and air traffic controllers. Why aren't they teaching us things anymore? Do we need to erect some new stone circles or carve some fresh geoglyphs like the old-timey people did?" There are many questions within this question. Mm-hmm. And Justin often asks questions and posts them on our Patreon. Really great questions. They often have a little bit of a sense of humor to them. So I think there is, Justin can let me know on Patreon if I'm incorrect, but I feel like there is a little bit of a sense of humor to this, but there is also some interesting questions to me about history and our interaction mm-hmm. or non-interactions with the sky people. So Jennifer, I want to break this down to a couple different questions and start with you. How do you feel about the idea of ancient wonders being alien influenced? Is Stonehenge a big sign that secretly says hello to Martians? How do you feel about those theories?
I had not even really thought about it. My husband has been in the kitchen for the past 10 minutes. He just left. He has been waiting for this question. He wanted to be on the podcast. I'm like, no, go away, please. Last night, he wouldn't stop talking. He's like, because, you know, I was preparing for this. And he's like, oh, what about this? Have you thought about that? I'm like, oh my gosh.
What's your husband's take? Is it that, is he, because I think I want to be a little bit gentle where we're trying to have a sense of fun. But I think that there are some schools of study that think, you know, certain cultural artifacts might, you know, be related. And I think there are other people who really push back and like, no, humans did that and we have archaeology and we know why. Where does your husband fall in that spectrum? Does he have alien theories or is he like, no, we know the answers?
This is why the whole alien thing has really taken me by surprise, because I thought that I knew the man I married who was he's very scientific. He is very evidence-based about everything. He loves science. I present anything and he's the most rational person. And all of a sudden now he's really been like, as he's exploring the possibilities, or I guess maybe he's always thought about this, that there could be, why not? Why not?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's a little jarring for me, which shouldn't be in some sense, because I grew up in the church, which, you know, that believes all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I really have a hard time with that. But I do think that he believes like some of those older monuments and stuff was human based. But it is fascinating to think, how did they achieve that? How did, without these modern day tools, how did they build these things or whatnot? So, mm-hmm. But get them started on aliens. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Two hours last night.
2 hours. So you already did this podcast. I'm so sorry.
Great.
Well, everybody look forward to Spouse Center coming soon on the feed.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, I think I'm not an expert on any of these things, and I want to have fun, but I also want to be respectful to people who are you know, experts in things like, say, you know, Egyptology and you know, that kind of thing. I always love the why not perspective of, well, maybe there's evidence, maybe there isn't, but I'm always open to the possibility of it. I just think sometimes with like the ancient artifacts, it is almost more fascinating to just be like, humans did this. Like, it's fascinating to think, you know, a little gray guy with a big head. It was like, here's how you build one of it. Here's how you're going to move those rocks, everybody. But it's more fascinating to me to think like some lost human invention is there. Not even mysterious, of just like, I almost think of the way that like, sometimes we get so used to our modern technology, it's mystical to us how analog things worked. Of like,
yeah,
I understand computers are ones and zeros, but how'd they get the movie on the VHS tape? I think that's kind of a jokey example, but I think it's fascinating to think of, you know, before the more common tools to do things, humans still found a way to do them, and it gets kind of lost to time. Ken, I know you have big feelings in general about the alien stuff. I want to narrow you down to the specific question of the old time ancient wonders and their relationship to sky people.
Why not's a great way to look at it, and it's fascinating. And yes, there's, you can look at different you know, areas of the world and different cultures and different, and those things that Justin's kind of referencing of like, hey, well, they all have dragons. So what is that? Where did that, what, how do we get to that point? Did they pass the notes in class about these? Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. It's part of the study of it. But to Justin's, you know, question about what about now? Yeah, that's my big point. So now they're just crashing in New Mexico. That's all they're doing now. Doesn't it make you suspicious? But yeah.
What is your relationship with like ancient wonders? Do you find Stonehenge awe-inspiring yourself?
Absolutely fascinated by them, and kind of fascinated by, in the way you're talking about them, Joseph, of like, okay, I can't conceive of how they actually did that, which is more fascinating to me than thinking the Greys came down and said, build this, for we have demanded it. You know, and then there's the dark side of it, and why I always talk about how conspiracy theories often hide a lot of the harsh realities that we don't want to face, that probably a lot of slave labor built this, all this kind of thing, you know, all those kind of things. But I don't want to get too serious there. But to your point, yeah, Stonehenge is absolutely amazing. I wish I could see it. I know you can't even get close up to it anymore, but I'd love to see that, you know? That kind of history. I was just in New York. One of the only things I did was I was sitting next to Mechanics Alley. My hotel was by there, which is like the last like actual alley in New York from like 1850. It's just an alley for two blocks. It smells like pee and trash, but like to walk through the history and just kind of feel the history of it.
How did humans accomplish this?
Yeah, they built an alley. Yeah, I love that stuff. Love it.
Yeah, that is absolutely amazing. So Justin is asking about the past and our apparently changed relationship with aliens, where they don't have as much advice for us, but are just buzzing things and crashing into things. So, Ken, I'm going to get to you because I know you are an expert in this field. You did a deep dive on all of the people behind the UFO information, some of the various connections and motivations. You know, the government has released that they have all of these records of unidentified flying objects. I can't remember the UAP, whatever the new name is for it, to try to change the association, right? But like, but they're releasing on a factual level is this was detected, this was recorded. We don't have an answer, but that's all. Confirm things.
A truth.
A truth. We've observed some things that we don't understand, which I really respect. I observe things I don't understand every day. Maybe other people do. But Jennifer, what is your take on the idea of there are confirmed sightings of things we don't know the answer for? Maybe we do. Maybe it's a weather balloon, right? Maybe it's not. How do you feel about all that?
I don't like it. I don't like I don't like the idea of aliens. I think it freaks me out. Maybe that's why I really bristle at, like, my brain can't really comprehend the idea of it. Mm-hmm. But there are some interesting theories about, like, the jumps in technology from like the 60s to the 80s. I mean, like, if you look at how people, you know, the computers of that time in the 60s, 50s and 60s to then getting like the Mac computer and obviously the iPhone, like how did we get that technology? Could microchips have come from alien technology? And I honestly didn't believe any of that. The only thing that did kind of make me go, was that bipartisan, initiative to try and find out more information on these unidentified objects and whatnot. It's not just one side pushing an agenda. It's both sides. Maybe there is some truth to it, but until I actually see it, until I see that in the sky, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's an important thing of, like, it's fine for us to see things, us being, like, say, the government, or us as individuals seeing things and going, I don't understand that. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe I'll investigate. Maybe I'll, you know, just let it be unknown. I think there's a power in saying, I have encountered something that I don't know what it is. But Ken, in your deep dive research, you feel like there is actually more of an agenda where people don't want to stop at. We don't know the answers, but spin it into conspiracy theories for motivations.
Yeah, the danger of it, the collective grift going on between a lot of folks, which doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't a chance that there's some alien life forms out there, or that something, you know, weird, or that, again, that we just don't understand. I just think there's a big leaps often taken. There was actually something, you know, I think last week there was the Bigfoot spotted from a train in Colorado, right? You look, you're like, oh, wow. Okay. It didn't take long. Stephen Greenstreet actually called the train thing, the train company, and they said, well, we're shocked. No one's actually called us before. Just everyone posted the story. No one called us. Mm-hmm. And you dig it a little deeper, and it's close to a group of people that are known for a Bigfoot hoax that do this, and they were being cheeky online, and they kind of maybe revealed the costume, and it's just like no one wants to – no one wants to stop because that's not fun. And I think that's a lot of these questions, which is why I like what Justin's asking here, cheeky or not. So they built the pyramids, but now they're just blipping American Airlines. Often some of it related to they're always near military testing bases. That's so weird that every time I go to 29 Palms, something weird's in the sky.
How would you feel if it was revealed that, like, having some fun with this, that, like, aliens had in the past, like, come along and they'd help with some technology, and like, here's how some physics work, here's how you can build some stuff, and then they're like, we need to set them back. Let's invent Twitter.
Well, it could be.
Let's create social media to just mess them up.
There could be that these advanced civilizations have gone through great lengths to get out here. We're like, hey, remember those? We used to go hang out there, and they used to love hanging out with us. We'd build things with them. They all think they know everything now. There's this one guy, Napstock, on a podcast. He's convinced we don't want to hang out with them. They've moved on.
Let's knock him down a peg. Yeah.
But in terms of actually finding out, like, it's not just this weird, you know, hearing before Congress where half the people were like, well, where's the evidence? You actually haven't presented evidence. If it was beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean, that's mind shattering. I can't even comprehend. Yeah.
I would love to not be, for humans to not be alone in the, in the universe. You know, that would be great. I'd love that. But I feel like, you know, if and when that realization is going to happen, it would be pretty clear. So Jen, in the spirit of this question of Justin's fun question, if aliens were real and they have been observing us throughout the millennia, why do you think they keep coming back to visit, and what do you think they would think of us?
I think that they think that we're like children, and maybe they come back when they see that we're messing with things that we shouldn't mess with. So they let us play And then when they see things might go awry, they come step in and give us some new technology. I don't know.
I mean,
but it would make sense, right? If there were, I can believe that there are other life forms in the universe. Sure. But like, I don't think that my comprehension or our modern day comprehension of like an alien, you know, the green being, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get really trippy with this. What if they're us from another dimension?
Ooh, yeah. What if it's
the alternate Joseph?
Yeah, it's the Battlestar Galactica people. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so fascinating to think about, too, of like, yeah, whatever your beliefs are about, the history of humans and our point here is certainly on a scientific level. The right conditions emerged, and through all the possibilities of evolution, no matter how you believe evolution was set into motion, we ended up here. And so there's that sort of like absolute bonkers. Well, yeah, somewhere far away, there's so many planets that those conditions happen somewhere else, and they're just like a bunch of other people like us going, is there anybody like? There's that alien that's fascinating to me. Like after all of our fantasy, what if just like, you know, some guy who looks exactly like us named Gary Landon is like, hey,
yeah.
I'm from a faraway place, you know? Or then there's the like, what if it was like, yeah, the sentient gas that whispers in your mind, like a kind of like existence that we, we obviously can conceive of it, but like, you know, is so different from us. That that's the kind of thing that I think about of like, what if the day comes, what would it actually be like?
It, yeah. I'm starting to want to list off a bunch of movies that it might be like, but I know I'm not trying to.
Yeah. Ken, if when you think of aliens being real, observing us over a long span of time, and they keep coming back to check in on us, what do you think they think of us?
Scary. And, the tendency towards war and pain and inflicting suffering. Maybe they just don't want to hang out with us, you know? They've looked around and this ain't for us. You know, they're assuming we're here to attack. Look at all their motion pictures. They show us attacking. They're always fighting. We just want to hang out. We like Colorado. We want to go there. New Mexico's great this time of year. We want to head over there. That's what I think they might think of. That's why at one point they were like, this has gone too far. But this has been our history, you know, war and strife and constant pain and suffering has been part of our makeup from the beginning. So. And they had enough.
Yeah, that's what I think about of aliens visiting and going like, okay, are they a threat? Nope, they're busy with their own BS.
Yeah, right.
And the sad, but also to me funny, thinking of aliens that keep checking in on Earth like it's a television show, and it's just like, you're in the 29th season and you're just repeating the same plots that we saw many years ago. What? Mm-hmm. There's nothing new here.
Get some new ones. Get some new ones.
Get some new material, the aliens say to us. Final part of Justin's question that I want to acknowledge here is the last part of if aliens used to be more into us and now they're just, you know, ditching us and crashing every once in a while and teasing us, what kind of monument should we build to get aliens more interested in hanging out with us again, Jennifer?
A giant alien sculpture of what we think that they look like.
a giant statue that says, here's what you look like.
This you.
Lisa Frank put aliens all over like her patterns, and like there's all these new clothing pieces that have aliens. So they're making a comeback.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What if they come to Earth to get some good Lisa Frank merch?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Ken, I'm going to end with you. Sometimes I give a lot of thought to questions, and then sometimes I just like, what's the first thing I think of? And for some reason, when I think of in the modern day trying to erect an awesome monument to aliens, for some reason I thought like, let's just build a massive Bob's Big Boy statue, just smiling and friendly. Come on down.
Yes, that's great.
So Ken, what monument would you build to show some friendliness to aliens?
I think, you know, maybe some of the big monuments that we think have been built by them, we've misinterpreted them, that tombs and things to praise them. I think they just want to have fun. I think the pyramids might have been large water slides, and I think we need to go back to that. I think we need to build an alien theme park. And maybe they just want to hang out, and we can find a stretch of road off the 40 highway in New Mexico, Arizona, head down there, maybe to the 10 out towards the desert. And, just build a giant slip of slides. I think they understand that we do, other than creating war and strife, we also have the ability for entertainment. Look at these video games that we gave them this amazing technology. These chips that Jen Land is talking about. We gave them, and then they instead built computers to play games on and to watch videos that don't seem appropriate. Like, they look what they've done. But they also have a good time. So if we just open up an alien theme park for them.
There you go. The alien theme park. Aliens just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. Let's embrace it. Let's play together. Let's invite them over to our dream homes with conversation pits and kitchen islands.
That's
the monument they need, is a great kitchen island, and the aliens will return. Any final thoughts from either of you on the alien question?
I have a lot more. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Any final thoughts from your husband, Jennifer?
If he was here, I'm sure he'd have a lot. But I got nothing. I want to hear Ken's.
The next party I have, Jen, you both are coming over, and then he and I will have a friendly discussion from both sides of the coin around the topic.
Yes.
Excellent. That sounds lovely. Well, Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
I would love to. And if you want to disagree with me over aliens and Bigfoot, you can reach out on Twitter at ForceCenterPod. We're on Hive Social as well. If you're still over there, Threads, we'll see where else we land up. Facebook page is ForceCenterPodcast. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well, where we have our next live show on October 27th at 2 PM Pacific. Podcast is available on a lot of spots. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. My website is kenapsok.com. Head over there and pick up a special edition of my comedy album, In My Day, available on Bandcamp, kenapsok.bandcamp.com. And pretty soon a special announcement. Gosh, look at the date. Sooner than later, where some music of the part of will be coming out as well. Jen, where can they find and follow you?
You can find and follow me on YouTube and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138, where I share deep dives on all things retro, including Lisa Frank.
I'm enjoying that channel so much.
Love that. Just wonderful discussion this week on all episodes. Thanks for leading us through them and these wonderful questions. Where can they find and support you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. And if you want to support the short film I've been working on with lots of great people, Ken included, it's great to see his lines get some big laughs at the Portland Lovecraft Film Festival in Portland, Oregon a couple weekends ago. The film is going to be playing some more places, including Bulgaria and Vegas. You know, those two places that are deeply tied together. All of the different places that it's going to be playing, I'm listing on my website as I get the information. And you can also check out my comedy on Bandcamp. There is a button right on my website to take you to Bandcamp. More sales of Bandcamp comedy albums will help me submit the film to more festivals. The Other Center listeners and Four Center listeners have been so supportive of all of our other different adventures. So thank you all so much for your support and for your great questions. I'll be posting a call for more questions on Patreon soon. But for now, we have answered the cues of the other.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.